This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Before we get into today's episode, Your Money Briefing is exploring what you need to know to become a homeowner and sustain your home. You can get early access to our series, Buying a Home and Keeping It, on WSJ Special Access, available only for WSJ subscribers. Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, April 10th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Many families put off talking about inheritance, thinking that it's taboo. But financial professionals say having the conversation sooner than later can avert money tensions down the road.
No matter what your wealth is, even if you don't think there's wealth there, there could be some wealth in house, there's wealth in possessions. The main point, too, the talk isn't just about dollars and estate planning documents. It's about your family. It's about plans to give to charity, education savings, how these things are important to your family.
We'll talk to Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Ashleigh Ebling after the break.
This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
The time to have the family inheritance talk is now, not when it's time for heirlooms and assets to be passed down. Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Ashleigh Ebling joins me. Ashleigh, why has the topic of inheritance traditionally been taboo?
Well, it's all about death and money. People don't want to face the fact that death is inevitable, and many people are guarded about disclosing their wealth, the exact dollar amount especially. We have statistics say that a third of Americans actually aren't planning to talk about inheritance and wealth transfer at all, but two-thirds actually have either had the conversation or have started.
What's caused that sense of taboo to break down?
It seems like Americans are opening up about all sorts of money-related things, talking about student loans or salary transparency. So it seems as if wealth transfer is next. You can already look up the value of someone's house on Zillow, if you think about that, or you can see how much someone sold their business for on Google. A lot of things aren't secret, even if a family wanted to keep it secret. The information's out there.
When should families have the inheritance conversation?
The financial advisors and estate planners I talked to said really to start early. And that doesn't mean telling everything right up front, but really as soon as you think the children are mature enough. I gave an example of a financial advisor, and he's working with his son. It was when he was in college, he really started telling him all about the family business, and he ended up entering the family business. So as soon as he did, then the books were totally open. It's best not to have the talk at the holidays when tensions are running high. So that might be the only time for families who live far apart. And if that's the case, don't have these talks at the dining room table. It's better to be in the living room where maybe you have the opportunity to walk out. I talked to one advisor. I talked to Lena Haas, who heads up wealth management advice for Edward Jones. And she made the point it's a conversation, not a confrontation.
But people should expect there to be some tension woven through the conversation, right?
That's inevitable. One of the points is who you're picking, you multiple children, and who you're picking to be the trustee of a trust or who you're picking as your personal representative for the estate. And then even especially once you start talking about dividing up assets, who gets the vacation house or who has an option to buy out the vacation house, they're all things that have to be hashed out.
How much time should families put aside to have the talk?
It's not one talk. It's ongoing. I talked to a woman in Chicago who says she's been talking to her father for decades about wealth transfer. He's in his 90s now. There's the logistics side of things, making sure all the documents are in order. I'm talking about who you name as power of attorney for financial and healthcare decisions while you're alive. So it's not just what happens when you die, but it's in your later years that it's important. The passwords to accounts, beneficiary forms, even to why trusts are set up a certain way. So for example, a family might give a lot of lifetime gifts to their adult children, and then it turns out in their trusts, it says there are all kinds of different distribution standards, and that can cause resentment if it's not explained.
Every family situation is different, but what types of tax implications should people expect?
Well, tax planning is definitely a part of the conversation. If you live in a state with estate tax, you need to discuss how that works. And the lifetime giving is something that families do to try to pass wealth on while they're alive and not have estate tax when they die.
If these conversations don't happen, how can that affect some members of a family?
There are the tax implications. Another example of that is with an individual retirement account or a 401k retirement account. If you haven't filled out the beneficiary forms correctly, or even if you have, but the personal representative can't find them, that can cause surprise tax bills for heirs. Another example would be blended families. Children from a first marriage could be disinherited unintentionally if you leave all your assets to a second spouse, for example, without provisions for the children from your first marriage to inherit.
What lessons can younger family members learn from older generations about inheritance and these conversations?
The main point, too, the talk isn't just about dollars and estate planning documents. It's about your family. It's about plans to give to charity, education savings, how these things are important to your family. One family I talked to, they have this incredible tradition of family trips. So the older generation took their children, spouses, and eventually grandchildren on 23 all-expenses-paid family trips. And they joked that they were spending their inheritance.
And it's not just wealthy families that have to have these conversations, right?
It covers everybody. And that's something financial advisors said, too, that's no matter what your wealth is, even if you don't think there's wealth there, there could be some wealth in house, there's wealth in possessions. And then again, there is this wealth in the family legacy, what's important to you to carry on, the values that you carry on.
There are lots of things on the agenda when you're talking about inheritance and you're talking about passing it down to generations. What's the biggest misstep that families make in this process?
Either not talking about it or not doing any of the planning. If they don't do any of the planning, then that leaves families to the whim of whatever your state law is to pick who the guardian for your children would be, to decide who gets what when you die. And not talking about it, it's just the surprises and then these resentments, like the example we talked about, that the families have these lingering resentments, and that's just unhealthy for families.
That's WSJ reporter Ashleigh Ebling. And that's it for your Money Briefing. We'll be back tomorrow morning with WSJ Life and Work columnist Rachel Feinsig to discuss the lessons she learned from a 4.5-month sabbatical. This episode was produced by Ariana Osbrew, with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.